Part 1. Thesme and the Gayrog.
1. For 6 months now, Thesme had lived alone in a hut that she had built with her own hands, in the dense tropical jungle half a dozen miles or so east of Narrabal, in a place where the sea breezes did not reach, and the heavy, humid air clung to everything like a furry shroud. She had never lived by herself before, and at first she wondered how good she was going to be at it. But she had never built a hut before either, and she had done well enough at that, cutting down slender sigenial saplings, trimming away the golden bark, pushing their slippery sharpened ends into the soft, moist ground, lashing them together with vines, finally tying on 5 enormous blue vrama leaves to make a roof. It was no masterpiece of architecture, but it kept out the rain, and she had no need to worry about cold. Within a month, her sigenial timbers, trimmed though they were, had all taken root and were sprouting leathery new leaves along their upper ends, just below the roof, and the vines that held them were still alive too, sending down fleshy red tendrils that searched for and found the rich, fertile soil. So now the house was a living thing, daily becoming more snug and secure as the vines tightened and the sigenials put on girth, and Thesme loved it. In Narrabal, nothing stayed dead for long. The air was too warm, the sunlight too bright, the rainfall too copious, and everything quickly transformed itself into something else with the riotous, buoyant ease of the tropics. Solitude was turning out to be easy, too. She had needed very much to get away from Narrabal, where her life had somehow gone awry. Too much confusion, too much inner noise, friends who became strangers, lovers who turned into foes. She was 25 years old and needed to stop, to take a long look at everything, to change the rhythm of her days before it shook her to pieces. The jungle was the ideal place for that. She rose early, bathed in a pond that she shared with a sluggish old gromwark and a school of tiny crystalline chichibors, plucked her breakfast from a thaka vine, hiked, read, sang, wrote poems, checked her traps for captured animals, climbed trees and sunbathed in a hammock of vines high overhead, dozed, swam, talked to herself, and went to sleep when the sun went down. In the beginning, she thought there would not be enough to do, that she would soon grow bored, but that did not seem to be the case. Her days were full, and there were always a few projects to save for tomorrow. At first, she expected that she would go into Narrabal once a week or so to buy staple goods, to pick up new books and cubes, to attend an occasional concert or a play, even to visit her family or those of her friends that she still felt like seeing. For a while, she actually did go to town fairly often. But it was a sweaty, sticky trek that took half a day nearly, and as she grew accustomed to her reclusive life, she found Narrabal ever more jangling, ever more unsettling, with few rewards to compensate for the drawbacks. People there stared at her. She knew they thought she was eccentric, even crazy. Always a wild girl and now a peculiar one, living out there by herself and swinging through the treetops. So her visits became more widely spaced. She went only when it was unavoidable. On the day she found the injured Gayrog, she had not been to Narrabal for at least 5 weeks. She had been roving that morning through a swampy region a few miles northeast of her hut, gathering the sweet yellow fungi known as calambots. Her sack was almost full, and she was thinking of turning back, when she spied something strange a few hundred yards away. A creature of some sort, with gleaming metallic-looking gray skin and thick tubular limbs, sprawled awkwardly on the ground below a great sigenial tree. It reminded her of a predatory reptile her father and brother once had killed in Narrabal Channel, a sleek, elongated, slow-moving thing with curved claws and a vast, toothy mouth. But as she drew closer, she saw that this life form was vaguely human in construction, with a massive, rounded head, long arms, powerful legs. She thought it might be dead, but it stirred faintly when she approached and said, "I am damaged. I have been stupid, and now I am paying for it." "Can you move your arms and legs?" Thesme.